Okay, let's get started. Good afternoon, and welcome to this talk on building a community. So the next 45 minutes, I'll be sharing with you some of the things that I think are useful when starting a community, when starting a user group. Many of these things are basically based on a personal experience, but over the years I've also done, I've had a lot of contact with other user groups and see how they do things, why some user groups fail, why some user groups or communities actually succeed. So those are the things that we'll be covering in this talk. My name is Gilles Kleeren, coming from Belgium, where I work as an architect at Ordina. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me via Twitter or via email. So I'm always available for any tips or tricks or help that you may need. I'm also a Pluralsight author. If you have some time free, you can take a look at my courses as well. If you do not have an account, I have free accounts available here, so after the session, come up to me and I can give you a month worth of unlimited course viewing and even offline viewing. So if you have interest in that, let me know after the talk and I can give you a free card. So what are we going to be doing today? Well, I've divided the talk in four different parts. First, what is a user group? What is a community? Because we talk about user groups, we talk about communities, what are they actually? And the other question that in that first part will be, why would you actually want one? Because what is the interest and what is the benefit, let's say, of starting a community? If you're convinced that you want one of these user groups, well, then I'm going to talk about how you can actually get started. What are the things to get set up, and how to make sure that your user group is not a very short does not have a very short lifespan. We'll talk about events. We're here at a big event, at a big conference, but user groups mainly do events. How do you get started with those? And we'll finish off the talk by looking at not just the user group, but the user group is, in my opinion, just part of a very large ecosystem of a community. And so that will be the last part of this talk. Hope that sounds interesting. So let's get started. First, what's a user group? What is such a user group, really? And why would I actually be interested in organizing one? Well, what I've done to get started about talking about user groups is I've looked up on the always trustworthy Wikipedia what they say that a user group really is. And this is, let's say, the definition of a user group. So a user group or users group, depends on how you want to pronounce it, is a type of club focused on the use of a particular technology, usually but not always computer related. So user groups really are something in the in our atmosphere, in our world of interest, let's say. So when we start looking at this definition in a bit more detail, it's basically a group of people, most of the time geeks like us, who are who share a common interest. In fact, an interesting thing to know is that the first user group that I found that was actually organized was in the 1950s already. So I think in 1955, of course, there was no internet at the time, and that actually got user groups started, because at that time, people were doing mainframe development, and of course, when they had questions, they had to go to colleagues physically and talk with them. And that's how user groups and how communities really got started in our area of expertise. So they actually started evolving quite a lot in the 70s and 80s. The oldest user group that I found still active today was already founded in the 1970s as well. So that's, of course, a user group to be proud of, and after 40 or 50 years, still active. So what do these people do? Well, they come together, they do meetings, they do sessions, they exchange knowledge, and those are the interesting things about a user group. Very often, in countries like ours, it's a country-based user group. It's not bound to a certain city. Of course, in the US, there's also many user groups there. But they are, because of the country being so large, they are mostly focused around a particular city or region within the country. Now, that's what a user group is. Now, just starting a user group is one thing, but making a user group a good user group is, of course, another. What I think are important aspects when talking or when thinking about organizing a user group, I think first of the thing that you really have to do, and that's putting the community in the first place. I often see user groups being started by people, by individuals who want to start a user group because of personal gain, to put themselves in the spotlight. Well, I do think that's definitely not a good way of starting a user group. A user group is really a place where the community comes first, where you will put your time and perhaps also some money in making sure that the community around a certain aspect will start to grow. But don't do it because you will get famous in that community. That will come over time, but that should not be your primary goal. A user group should also have a clear and unique goal. What are you going to be talking about, or what are people going to be capable of exchanging knowledge around? Those are the things that are important that people know before they start joining your user group. Make sure that the user group also has informative content. Make sure that it's consistent. Some user groups, mine does not by the way, are very consistent in the time or the day of the month that they meet. Consistency makes it easy for people, for attendees, to know when the next event will be. We'll come back to that later on. A user group is also something that does not run on you only, as the organizer or the founder of the user group. It's something that is, well, that lives because of its volunteers. And we should think of those volunteers when organizing the user group and making sure that they get the respect that they get. Again, more on that later on. The user group should actually be a source for education. If you succeed after a couple of years in making sure that when people start thinking of a new technology, and they say, well, if the user group is organizing an event around that or a knowledge sharing evening around that, we should go there because there's always experts there. Well, then you've succeeded in making sure that your user group is the source of knowledge, is recognized as such for that particular technology. Also, and I'll talk quite a lot about that later on, but I see a user group as a company. Although it may not require any money, and I'm coming back to the money aspect in much more detail later on as well. But I do think that a user group is a small company. And just like a store should actually also go for returning attendees. Well, I think a user group should also make sure that we always get back a certain group of attendees. A user group should also be open for suggestions. It's not a one-man thing. A user group should listen to its volunteers, to its attendees, to know what's the next big thing that they have to do. Those are a couple of things already that I think are important around a user group. So, like I said, the community is the thing that you have to put in the first place. Don't do it because out of personal gain. It's definitely not a good way to start a user group. Do it because you want to share knowledge, because you have a lot of knowledge about it, because you know a lot of people who have a lot of knowledge around a certain topic, but do not put yourself in the first place. Like I said, create a circle of friends within the technology. That's basically what I mean with a group of people who have the shared interest in a certain technology. Sometimes also people start user group because they're a good speaker or they know or they're very profound in a certain technology. Well, I do think those are good ways to start user group because you will come in contact yourself with other experts in your area that you're already an expert in. Of course, a sense of initiative is definitely required. A user group is not something that you start and it will keep on running itself. Well, after a couple of years it will, but it will definitely require a lot of initiative definitely in the first years. And also persistence. Like I said, it's not something that you start with and that you give up after 1 or 2 years. It needs to grow. Just like a company, again, it will need some time to become famous in the community and actually to get more and more members within that community. Now, some people also, when thinking of a user group, are sometimes a bit afraid of the fact that, will people turn up for my user group? Of course, that depends on quite a lot of factors. I've put a couple of things that pop to mind when thinking of fears of people, whether or not attendees will show up at their events. Are the events fun? That's, of course, an interesting question. Are events free? That's another one. Coming back to the money issue later on. Do you have interesting topics? Are people capable of talking with each other? Do they have the ability to share knowledge? Not only receive knowledge, but also share knowledge with others. Is there a social aspect? Can people, perhaps after your evening session, stick around and have a drink and again exchange some knowledge? That's an interesting aspect. Is the location good? Is the goal clearly defined? All those things. If you can say yes when you start a user group to a couple of these, well, then I think people will definitely turn up. And of course, do not forget the free pizza, because that's of course what developers live on. Developers turn pizza and coffee into code. Well, if you make sure that the pizza is there, I think they will definitely turn up. Now, what I do most of the time is I work in an offline user group, let's say, so the real world. There are also user groups which live completely in an online aspect. I do not have any experience with that, but do know that the offline world is, of course, in terms of community, I think the most interesting one to get started with. So the user group I've been running is Visig, that's the Visual Studio user group. I've been running it now for almost 11 years. We have 2,500 members, and we do about 12 to 15 events per year, each with between 30 and 100 to 150 attendees. So we're actually quite successful. We've been running it for quite some years already, as we, like I said, almost 11 years now, and we're still doing it with a lot of fun and a lot of pleasure that we get out of it. All right, so I'm not going to make any more publicity for my user group, but if you want to see what we've been up to, this is the website on which we publish all our events and everything that we're doing. All right, so if you think, well, yeah, one of these user groups, that seems like a lot of fun. That's definitely what I want to get out of this. Well, I think that's a great idea, because like I said, there's a lot of... you get a lot of benefits out of it yourself as well, apart from the fact that it makes you feel good that you're actually doing something to help others. But there are quite a few questions that I often get when talking with people on getting started with a user group. So I have a couple of things that I've put together in let's say, a checklist that I suggest you should be thinking of before getting started with a user group. And keep in mind, like I said, well, a user group is basically a small company, so there's quite a few things that will be more or less the same when you start your own company. So let's get started. So the first thing, like I already said, a user group should have a clear goal. What is the technology that you're going to be covering? Will that be Java.net? We are the Visual Studio user group, so we are covering Visual Studio. 11 years, things were a bit different than they are now. So Visual Studio was just .NET. But nowadays, we cover GitHub. We cover even soft skills. We basically are a very broad user group. Now, because those user groups, I think, already exist, you probably will have to narrow down your area of expertise on which you're going to focus. I do think that a general .NET, Java, whatever user group probably exists already. It exists here in the Netherlands, SDN.net. In Belgium, we exist. So basically, don't start with a .NET user group. I think that's going to be too wide. So you will have to narrow down, perhaps a Xamarin user group or a System Center user group or a SharePoint user group, if they don't already exist, of course. That's, of course, an important aspect as well. Now, what I have seen happening in the past is that user groups tie themselves to a technology, a very narrow technology, which after 1 or 2 years, all of a sudden stops existing. I've seen it happening with Silverlight quite a few times. There were quite a few Silverlight-specific user groups, and of course, after Silverlight stopped, what did they have to do? Some moved on to a different technology, some just ceased to exist. So do think of a... When you want to start a user group, do think of the technology that you want to cover. If you're very dependent on that technology, do know that you're very dependent on the lifetime and the lifespan, let's say, of that technology as well. Okay, you've decided on the technology, then you have to start thinking like making it a company. You have to create a name. The New York Java user group, the Belgian .NET user group, what have you. Most user groups that you see around are actually using an abbreviation, like we are using Visage, Visual Studio user group. Don't make it a very long name, it doesn't really pronounce that well. Of course, check that the name doesn't exist. In the long run, you may turn your user group in a company to make sure that that name is not already registered, because then it might get you in legal trouble along the way. So check that the name isn't registered, at least local or the local scale, and then create a domain, because that's where everything is going to start. Think of the website, the email, and those things that you will have to be using for your user group later on. Now, like I said, it's a company. And what does a company have to do? They need to create some visual recognition, because people, maybe after a couple of years, your user group is well known within the community, and you will have, you will get the ability to set up a booth at a conference like this one. If you get to do that, well, then you will have to make sure that people recognize you. And what else is better than that? Well, a logo, some colors, some visuals that you will have to be using all over the place. Because in the first years, it's important that people start recognizing you, start seeing you all over the place. So what will you need? Well, you need a logo, a website, on your website. You can use that logo in your business cards, maybe in your email footer, and so on and so on. And like I said, when you maybe, after a couple of years, get the ability to have a booth at a conference, or maybe you can make a banner with your logo as well. The first most important thing that you will have to do for your user group, I think, after that, is creating a website. The website is definitely something that, let's say, is the business card for your user group. Because that is the place where your events are going to be announced. What is the next event? Most of the time we publish a couple of events on the websites. We publish them between 6 to 8 weeks on beforehand. So a website is definitely your business card, your entrance point to your user group for many attendees and members. Some user groups also publish their members. Do watch out with privacy, because we've had questions around that as well. Privacy legislation does not allow you to always publish the member names on the website. It's not always allowed. Depends a bit on the country whether or not it's allowed. I'll talk about the board later on. The board is the people that basically help you within the user group, you as the organizer, and that help organizing the user group. Well, do publish those people, because that's a way of giving them respect and giving them recognition for all the time that they put in. We'll talk about sponsors as well, but of course the sponsors need to be on the website, if you have any, of course. But in most cases, somehow your user group will be sponsored, and of course they need the recognition for that as well. And then some user groups also have a forum. I'm not a fan of that. We've never had that with our user group. There are many other alternatives, like a Stack Overflow, which of course specialize in the online aspect. Like I said, we're an offline user group, so we don't really have the need for a forum where people can ask questions. If they have questions, we do that via the social channels. We'll come back to that later on, but a forum, yeah, might be interesting, but I don't think it's really necessary anymore. Where do you get that website? Well, some user groups use WordPress. We have our own custom-made website. WordPress is an existing, is a great product to get started. And there are plugins on WordPress to even start a community. Search for community, and there are some plugins that allow registration and publishing of events that are ready-made out of the box. And WordPress hosting, you can even get that for free. So it's really easy to get started with the WordPress setup. Also, over the past, some companies that have CMS-like systems, so content management systems, they often offer them for free for communities. We've had, in the past, we have looked at Sitefinity from Telerik, which also sponsor user groups with a free version of that. So sometimes those commercial products, you can get them for free when you say that it is for a community, of course. An alternative that is getting quite a lot of traction lately is Meetup, and lately I mean the last couple of years. Meetups are, let's say, on-the-fly user groups, but also I've seen existing user groups use Meetup for their registration and sometimes even their website. If you've never seen Meetup, let me go over here in the browser. So you're not seeing that now. That's not good. Let's duplicate. Now you see it. Huh? So this is for a session I did last or 2 weeks ago in London with the London mobile developers who cover .NET and Xamarin. And so this is their meetup website. So they do everything via meetup. They do not have their own website anymore. So they have just this meetup website. And so if you look at this setup website, what they have is the homepage on which they announce their upcoming events. They also have their past events on there. And that's the one you just saw. Like I said, some user groups post the members. Meetup by default does that. You can disable that if you do not want this to happen. A list of sponsors, if any. For example, these guys have Xamarin, of course, as a partner. So they put them on there with a link to the website. Some photos, some custom pages can be in there. And like I said, there's a small form in here as well. But as you can see, it's not very active. So most of the time, this is not for technical questions, but this is for event-related questions. So is the location already available and so on and so forth. So just head over to meetup.com and you can get started for free. It's very cheap, but I think you can also get a free version, let's say, of this for a starting user group. So just head over to meetup.com and you can basically get started right away with the setup of your user group. It contains basically everything that you need. Also interesting is that they have a local search, so you can actually publish your events on Meetup. And a lot of people nowadays search Meetup for interesting events. They don't tie themselves to a community anymore. They search for interesting events and Meetup publishes them for you. So that's Meetup. Really easy to get started with Meetup to get your own website up and running. Now a bit more to the let's say real life aspect again. Like I said, you will need to create a board. What I mean with a board is basically a group of people that help out with the management and the organization of the user group. I do think that a user group, running a user group all by yourself is a lot of work. It's hard work. Don't underestimate that. I do think that a lot of people underestimate the amount of work that goes into organization of a user group. So get a bunch of people together. And that's what I want to say here. Where do you find those people? Well, maybe you have colleagues who are doing the same thing as you are. Maybe you have, after a couple of sessions, you start seeing the same people over and over again. Well, those people can actually become your board. That's how we actually, many years ago, got started. We saw a lot of people coming back, and that's how we got started with our board. And the board, of course, now is still the same in our user group. Give them credit for what they do. Then they will stick around and keep helping out with the user group. In terms of members of that board, I've seen user groups fail because of creating a board which was too large. Personally, we have always had three or four people. Now I think we've been doing it for 5-6 years with three people, and I found that actually more than enough. If you have 5, 6, 7 people, think of management meetings with 6, 7 people. Everyone has different interests and different views on things. Well, it's going to be the same with the user group. And make sure that board is small, agile, and then your user group can keep on living. Listen to the board. The board is basically your group of trusted people, of trusted advisors. Well, they have good insights as well. Make sure that you listen to those people as well. Now, the always important thing here is the money aspect. I think that along the way, you will probably need money for your user group. I've seen user groups run for many years without money. Of course, if there's money available, things are going to be easier. Don't let that scare you. You don't need money right away. But think of things that over the next couple of years, when you started your user group, will become necessary and will cost you money. And what I think of is food and drinks, but maybe you find companies that want to help out with their food and drinks sponsoring. Maybe you will have to rent a venue. Again, we'll talk about venues. Most of the time you'll find free venues, companies which have a large meeting room available for you in the evening. Well, maybe then you don't have to pay for it. The same goes for beamers. Maybe you want to record sessions and publish them online. You need a camera. Maybe you have a camera that you can use for it. Travel costs and hotel costs for a speaker, eventually, if you start getting international speakers, well, yeah, they don't sleep on the street, I think. So you will have to pay for their hotel and their travel. Yeah? So those kinds of things are going to require some money over time. A word on paid speakers. Well, user group is community. I would never basically accept as a user group speaker any money for sessions that I do. So don't get started on paying speakers for a user group, I think. It's definitely not necessary. If they don't want to do it from a community perspective for free, well, then I don't think that's the right speaker for that for your user group. Now, if you say, well, I need money, I will probably need money. Where do you get it? Well, sponsorship. Now, where do you get the sponsors? Well, our model has always been that we have companies that partner with us and that pay us a regular fee on a regular basis once a year that we use to organize the event, and in return the companies get a lot of exposure for that. Don't think that companies won't sponsor you. Maybe not in the beginning, because you will have to make your reputation. But on the other hand, companies will realize after some time that you have access as an insider into a community that they may want to get access to as well. You have the knowledge, you have the contacts with the experts in the field. And maybe they want to get some contacts in that area as well. So you have a lot of benefit in organizing user group when it comes to getting money from companies that are in the same area of expertise as your user group. Maybe the local sub can help. If you're doing an Apple-related or an iOS-related user group, maybe Apple can help out. If you do the same for Microsoft, Microsoft will definitely help out. So they will help you with venue, with food and drinks and those kinds of things, or maybe also some financial sponsorship as well. Like I said, it may not be needed right away, may be able to span a couple of years before you actually need it. Now, where can you go for sponsorship? Software companies that create physical and products, or physical, I mean software products. Consultancy companies, they're often in it to get contact with experts. Training companies, to make sure that their trainings are known with the public. Hosting companies, maybe they offer you a free server to host your website on. Hardware vendors, they may offer you prizes, for example, to give away. Publishers, like a book publisher, they may offer you free copies of books or ebooks. Those are the companies that you will have to talk to when you're looking for sponsorship. We didn't really have a lot of success with that, but some user groups also succeed in attracting non-technical companies, like beverages or something from Coca-Cola or something. It works in some countries, but we've never seen that work in Belgium, so I think the Netherlands is going to be probably the same, but maybe it works somehow for you. Like I already said, why does a user group, why does a company want to sponsor you? Because you have access to a community that actually has access to the experts. And they may want to hire someone. They may want to get their name known in that community. Those are the things of importance for the companies that may be become a sponsor. What we typically do is we have a document describing what we do, like an elevator pitch, let's say. What do we do? How do we give value to the company that sponsors us? And how do we actually, how many people do we reach? How many events do we do? And so on and so forth. Other benefits that we put in for the companies can include a 5-minute introduction when we do the event at their location. That's always interesting for companies because they get access to that audience that they want to reach. We also give them metrics. We also let them know what we have been doing over the past year. What we typically do every December is we do a dinner, or a meeting. We do a dinner, but a regular meeting would also be fine, with all partners that we have. And we let them know what we have been doing over that year. We've organized this many events. We have this many people on the mailing list. We have this many people at our events, and so on and so forth. So then they get, they see, let's say, what is going to be the benefit for them, or what has been the benefit for their money, what has their money been used for, and what did they get out of it. One more thing about money is member fees. I'm not a fan of it. I don't want to, basically I'm not a fan of asking money for user group events or for community events, because the community. Do know that when you start asking money to people for user group events, well, you actually create different expectations. People will come to your sessions and they will expect high quality. A user group does not always have to be super high quality. Even if it's a regular community speaker, they may not be the best speaker, but they may have interesting things to tell. When you start asking money for things, well, the perception changes. So I'm always a fan of trying to keep user group events free as long as possible, or preferably always. All right, so now we've gone through the steps that I think are important to get started with your user group. Now, one of the most important things that the user group will typically do is organizing events. That's what we most of the time will be doing. Now, when we think of an event, we think of me standing here talking to you. The one way, the one direction user group session, a regular talk. But do know that it's not limited to just that. There are many other interesting event types that can attract attendees. So the regular talk, maybe two sessions in a row. We do that once or twice a year. And what we do on those evenings is two subsequent sessions, not parallel. And we have 2 hours, I think, 2 times 60 minutes, and two completely different topics. And that really attracts a lot of people, because they get to know two different topics in one evening. That does give a lot of attendees always, basically. Panel discussions. A group of panels, a group of experts that people can ask questions to. Allow them to send in questions on beforehand, and then those discussions can get started. It doesn't really work in Belgium, because Belgians are really quiet, but I can imagine in the Netherlands it would actually work much better. Study groups is something that works quite well, I know, in Sweden. There's a very successful study group there, or user group that does study groups, I actually should say. A study group is basically an evening where most of the time they put on a video, like a Pluralsight video, and they watch it together. They maybe do the hands-on exercises, and they actually talk and learn together. It doesn't work in Belgium again, because again, Belgians are too quiet, but I can imagine it being very interesting. A code camp, a social event even, a non-technical event. It does work, a barbecue or something. Just organize it, not as your first event, of course, but after some time, it will actually allow people to connect more closely to your user group. And maybe after a couple of years, a small conference is in place as well. But let's talk a bit in more detail, because most of these things, well, they require more or less the same things to get started with. So what do you need for such an event? Well, you need a speaker, one or more, you need a location, and then you'll end up with a session. Let's first take a look at the speaker. Where do you get a speaker? Well, there's quite a few running around here. We can maybe take one home. First, I don't think that user group speakers should be top level. Right? A user group is a community. Again, think back of that member fee thing that I've just explained. I think that a user group speaker can even be a starting speaker, an aspiring speaker. Where else do people have to learn how to give sessions to larger audiences? And in my opinion, a user group should actually be a podium for new aspiring speakers to learn how to do it. So don't be afraid if your user group has a session which doesn't have the best speaker every now and then. It doesn't always have to be. It can be a trigger for someone to dive into a topic and also learn how to do sessions. What we do for new speakers often is we organize, as user group organizers, we organize ourselves a dry run with the speakers. And we ask them to send in the slides, we take a look at the slides, and if the speaker requires us to do so, we do a dry run a couple of weeks on beforehand, we go through the presentation with him or her, and then we give feedback and pointers on where they can improve. That often helps them be more confident. A speaker academy. Microsoft in Belgium does that. They organize trainings on how to get started in public speaking, or maybe something that used to exist in quite a few years ago, a speaker idol. It's basically, a podium that you get for 10 minutes, and then you can do your small short talk and people can vote. It's not always the best thing for a starting speaker to get on stage and do a competition right away, but it can help you find new speakers. Also, do not forget to give feedback to those speakers. If you gather feedback from your attendees, give that back to the speaker. Otherwise, he or she will not know where to improve in the future. Now, where do I find those speakers? Maybe, like I said, starting within your own region, within your own country. Local speakers are probably more than enough, let's say, to get started with the user group. Maybe attendees want to speak. Maybe attendees want to give a session in your own company. Colleagues may be an expert in a certain area. Well, allow them to give a session. Maybe within your sponsors. And we always ask our sponsors once or twice a year. Maybe they have a good speaker on a certain topic, and that gives us a lot of sessions. That definitely helps us in finding good speakers. Maybe the local hub, Microsoft, your mother company, let's say, can also have evangelists or something that are capable of giving sessions at your user group. Local influencers, people who are active on Twitter, also may be interested in giving a session. Conferences like this. User group associations that used to be popular, let's say, but I don't think they still exist. INETA was a very important user group association where you could ask for a speaker to come over. It's not something that you see still happening quite a lot, but it used to exist. Other user groups, if they're in the vicinity, talk with them. Maybe we can exchange a speaker for our user group. Training companies, they have trainers. Trainers love to speak in front of an audience. Well, they are probably a good place to get started searching for a speaker as well. And then book authors, Pluralsight authors, those kind of people always are happy to give a session at user group. So finding speakers should not be a very difficult thing. If you want to go more, let's say, global, conferences like this one, don't be afraid to go up to a speaker and say, well, do you want to give a session at my user group? No, they're open for that. Just contact them. They're not God or something. They're just a speaker like you, and just a developer like you and me. So, if you can't ask them, don't be afraid of doing that. The local hub, like Microsoft, can also sometimes help you in finding good speakers. Maybe they have someone coming over from the local hub. So don't be afraid of trying to find those speakers. And then. Maybe also international companies can also be an interesting one to do. You can also do remote sessions. I'm not really a fan of those virtual sessions. Nah, might not give the same feedback and the same community feeling, but it is possible to get, let's say, an international speaker at your conference. At your user group. Once you have the speaker, then you need a location. That's quite convenient to have it. Like I said, definitely in the beginning, try to find a free venue. Companies have meeting rooms, sometimes have a conference room where they can fit, let's say, 50, 60, 100 people. So most of the time that will help you out. Schools and universities, I see that very often in the UK, quite a lot of user groups rely on schools and universities for their sessions because they have at least one or two auditoriums, so they put them often in those things. I've even done sessions in a bar with a back room. I don't think in Belgium it doesn't exist, but bars in the UK, for example, often have a small back room for smaller events, and well, I've done sessions there quite a lot, and I've even done a session in a church in the UK, so a community building which is open for that. In the UK, you see that quite often. Well, I've done sessions in community buildings there as well. Make sure that it's easy to reach, that it has power, that it has internet. Do not forget that. Maybe nowadays with a 4G reception, it's possible to do it without internet, but don't forget that the speaker might need it. Technical, you need a beamer, and you need audio. It's always horrible to have to drive an hour to get to the user group session and then have a tiny screen that people can't see or that they can't hear the speaker because of the acoustics in the room not being quite good. Well, that's horrible. If people come out to your user group, make sure that they get value out of it as well. So make sure that the presentation and that the audio is well visible and well audible. If you have those things together, well, then the big moment has come, so you can actually start planning the event. Of course, think of when you have the location and the speaker, match up the agendas. When you have found a correct, a good match, well, then you have to put the session online. And what do you need to put the session on your user group site? Well, you need a good description. An abstract of a session should not be two lines, in my opinion. An abstract should actually give a full overview of what people are going to learn, maybe some prerequisites, the level, what level can they expect? That's always a difficult one, but if it's a real introduction session, make sure that people know that's going to be an introduction session. And then publish the event on your website. We try to make sure that the events are online at least 3 weeks on beforehand. In fact, 4 to 5 weeks is ideal, we've seen, to make sure that we get a good balance between people registering and people turning up. You always will have people who do not turn up. Around 30% is normal, but if you put the event online too long on beforehand, well, then you will have more no-shows because people will have forgotten. Of course, we do send reminders, but if people can register too long on beforehand, they simply register and, well, it goes out of their mind, they get something else in the agenda, and they forget about the event, and they also forget to unregister. So 3, 4, 5 weeks we find to be ideal to put your events online if available. What we also see, of course, people that are not waiting on your website and refreshing constantly to see if there's a new event. If that would be the case, then you would be really popular. But we do see that a newsletter is basically the way to get people to register. We always see a high increase in people registering for the event when we send out a newsletter. We are connecting. We are also connecting sometimes with other user groups, and maybe they can also promote the event because it's also in their area of expertise. Also what we do, and that is sometimes I've had questions from that from a user group in the US. They never do that, but we always try to do that. Give a small gift to the speaker, no matter how small, but they're investing their time in the preparation and being there. So a small speaker gift is always something nice to give to the speaker and make sure that they maybe will be doing a session again in the future. And also do not forget to order the pizza because that would get you angry attendees afterwards. When you're at the day of the event, of course, maybe you've connected with the speaker and agreed that you would pick him up somewhere. Do not forget the speaker. That's a very important one. Make sure that, to reduce your own stress level, that you're there in time because you have to test the setup. Is the audio okay? Is the video okay? Those things you will need to make sure. Also, think of the font. Make sure that the font size is large enough for people to see it all across the room. In some countries, it's actually required to introduce the talk as the organizer. I don't think in Belgium it's definitely not required. I don't think it is in the UK. But you have to introduce a talk in some countries. You have to let people know where the emergency exits are and those kinds of things. We also promote the upcoming sessions, and we also, of course, introduce the speaker afterwards. In terms of prizes and things to give away, well, it's always interesting for people to be able to get something for free. If they can get something, no matter how small it is, well, people love that. If there's free stuff to be raffled, well, it's interesting. Go to your companies, to your sponsors, and maybe they will have things to give to you for free. That can be licenses, that can be software, can sometimes also be hardware, or can even be smaller things like lanyards and stress balls and so on. And after the event, of course, do not forget to allow the people to give feedback. Allow people to actually give feedback. Give feedback back to the user and to the speaker, because otherwise they will not know how to improve on their session. We also have on the website integration with SlideShare to share the sessions with share the slides with the attendees. So integrate that with the website. If you record the session, of course, also it might be interesting to put that video on your own website. And then the last thing, and I have a couple of minutes left, so we'll have to speed up a little bit, is the community itself. Because events are just events, and you do need some other things to be on that website and make sure that people are not disconnected when there's no event for the user group going on. How do we reach what we do to basically increase the reach is, well, we try to make sure that if there's no event going on, that people are still connected with the user group. We try to involve members and partners no matter what's happening. So what do we do to create that community? We have the website. We have the registration system built in, coming back to that in just a second. Mailings, social, survey, sometimes even an app can also be interesting for a user group. We tried an app, but that didn't really give us a lot of extra registrations, but it can be of help to increase your reach. How much time do I still have? None. Is it? Okay. Okay. Thank you. So I'm going to give you a couple of pointers that, to things that we still use, so just that you know. So registrations. An easy registration system should actually be integrated in your site. What we use for registrations is Eventbrite. It's free if you do free events. So definitely a user group should be free, like I already said. Eventbrite is a good choice for that. So allow people to register via Eventbrite. It's easy to integrate in your website, or you can also use it standalone. We integrate it in the website. It's just an iframe that you put in your website, and people can register directly in there. They even offer an app to allow you to scan when people are starting to arrive to see who is there and who is not turning up. I'm not going to show you these. For mails, we actually use MailChimp. MailChimp is a really good tool to send out HTML mails to lots of people. Up until 2,000 receivers, I think, it's free. So if you reach 2,000 attendees, well then, or 2,000 members, then you're already doing a good job. So MailChimp is definitely our way to go to send out the mails. And then what else do we use? The social. We use social, of course. The site is only static. We use social to announce events. That does not give us a lot of registrations. Mail, like I said, is mostly the trigger for people to register. But social allows us to connect with attendees more closely. We get questions in via social channels, mostly via Twitter. And we also even use it to let people know when there's a lot of traffic around the area where the event is going to be. Well, we simply put out a tweet that says, leave in time because there's a lot of traffic, so make sure that you're there on time. So we use social to connect more closely with attendees. And then finally, also service. We send out service after each event to make sure that people can let us know what they thought about the event, the location, maybe the food, and of course the speaker. What we use for that is something called Instantly. Instantly is actually now changed names, but you can still use this link, so instant.ly, to allow you to create very simple feedback service. So I'm going to skip the demos. So that was it. Like I said, I've been doing user group for 11 years now, and I still find it to be great fun. It has given me a lot of opportunity to connect with people. And I do think, although it doesn't really give you any direct benefit, you do get a lot of fun and also a career boost out of it. Once you get started, it's definitely hard to let go. I hope I've given you some ideas on how to get started with the user group. If you have any questions, well, let's take them offline because the next session is almost up to us. Thanks for being here and thanks for listening.